pleasure for us to welcome in Rodney Orr. He's the founder and editor of TiderInsider.com. Rodney, I hope it's a good pre-third Saturday in October week for you so far. How are you?
I'm doing great, Harold, Brett. How are you guys?
Man, we're doing all right. We say this jokingly with a tongue in cheek, Rodney. After that awful game by Alabama against Texas A&M, looks like they bounced back okay against Arkansas.
Yeah, I mean, you know, again, I think defensively they looked really good again. 227 yards they gave up. You know, offensively, I still think obviously they have some work to do. But when you're averaging 302 yards a game rushing, that's pretty good. You know, the formula for Nick Saban has always been pretty simple. It seems like it's been run the football, stop the run, plus interference margin. Now think about this statistic I'm about to fire at you, Harold, Britt. Alabama's rushing for 302 a game. They're giving up only 66 a game, and they are an amazing plus 11 in turnover margin. How many games do you think you're going to lose like that?
Well, and how many fans are still happy with that, which is what, to me, Rodney, is the most amazing thing. I mean, people say, why don't they pass the ball more? I think you just answered the question, why would you with those numbers?
Yeah, I think the concern about the passing game is just when they get into the bigger games. And I think bigger games, obviously big games, but let's be honest. There are some games that, you know, down the road that are going to be really challenging with the defenses they're going to face. You know, I think fans remember what happened last year when they could not move the ball. Again, some people say, well, they lacked physical running game, but also they had a tough time passing the ball down the stretch. So I think, you know, you have to be able to pass the ball a little bit better. Whether that means throw it more or not, I don't know. But certainly, I think they have to continue to progress in terms of being effective.
Ronnie, just to reiterate some of the stats that you mentioned, Jonah Williams moving from right tackle to left tackle may not have been a seamless transition, but yesterday or earlier this week, named SEC Offensive Lineman of the week, I believe the second time that's happened in his career, graded out 92%, et cetera. The numbers are, but I remember when you telling us several years ago, he was very quiet in his recruitment, never wavered. I know that's something Harold and I talk a lot about. Some of these guys enjoy the limelight and go to visits, et cetera. He did not. He came in, started immediately at right tackle, realized, again, with Cam Robinson leaving, I need to go to left. You know, maybe a little bit slow in the transition early in the season, but named this week after his performance against Arkansas, SEC Offensive Lineman of the Week.
Yeah, I mean, you know, he is a student of the game. And again, like you said, Brett, sometimes it does, you know, a transition, you do have to make some adjustments, and that's probably – you know, been his deal, just simply making some adjustments and, you know, trying to get himself ready to play at that same level that he played at the right tackle. But the guy's a student of the game, and he's doing a great job. And, you know, I think the offensive line continues to make a lot of progress. You know, they're, once again, they're in the running for that Joe Moore Trophy. It's the nation's outstanding offensive line. And, you know, hopefully they continue to progress.
Checking in again with Rodney Orr. He is the founder and editor of TiderInsider.com. Rodney, here's about it. What I learned more than anything else this past weekend in listening to the broadcast of that Bama-Arkansas game is I will never eat another honey bun. if it does for us what it has done for Damian Harris, he's lost a lot of weight. You've been the president of the Damian Harris fan club. As we mentioned earlier, this is the quietest 1,000-yard-plus rusher last year. But your thoughts about Damian, and again, people were asking, how do you keep this group of running backs happy? I would imagine just play them all like Nick and his staff's done pretty much so far.
Well, I think there's a lot of lessons to learn from Damian Harris. First of all, as you and Brett know, that you remember a couple of years ago when he was a freshman, just because he didn't make a big splash, everybody was calling him a bust already, if you remember. And you know, how about a little time to develop and get adjusted to the game, you know?
At this level.
I mean, some people kind of, same thing with Najee Harris a little bit. I mean, people saying, well, I mean, you know, if you don't carry the ball, if you're kind of running behind somebody or you're getting in and mop-up duty, it can make it difficult. But I just really like the way Damian Harris has developed. I think that he has a chip on his shoulder, which is a good thing, because, you know, I think people have kind of doubted him. I think the fact that he ran for 1,000 yards and nobody really talked about him, it's probably something that, that bothered him a little bit in terms of, you know, thinking, hey, you know, look what I've done, and people still doubt me. So I think he's used that as a positive motivation. He may not say that, but I do think that's the case. And you know what? I mean, you look at a determined runner out there. To me, on Saturday night, I saw some Mark Ingram in him. What I mean by that, yes, is that sheer determination and the passion that he's running with. So, I mean, he's come a long way, and how you keep them all happy. You know, he carried it 9 times for 125 yards. Bo Scarborough has, you know, had limited carries, and but he's done well, too. They're just kind of balancing out their carries. And let's not forget, Jalen Hurts actually has 11 more carries than does Damian Harris. Think about that.
Yeah.
Rodney, let me ask you about special teams. Been very solid this year. Yes, I'm well aware of the muffs. And I still say Henry Ruggs, it was a little more of a windier night than a lot of fans, and particularly watching it on TV. Certainly you've got to catch the ball, is the number one priority. But overall, when you look at Nasty Andy and the field goal kicking, J.K. Scott has been exceptional with kickoffs. NCC opponents have been limited to just 17.5 yards per return. Daniel Wright has played very well. So has Mac Wilson. I know there have been a few issues and a few shank punts, but overall, I think the kicking game has been pretty solid so far this year.
Man, first of all, Andy Papanastos is, what is he, 12 of 15? Is that right? Is that
That's correct, yes.
Okay. All right, yeah, he's 12 of 15. So what a surprise, I guess. Maybe we really didn't have expectations because we really didn't know. But I think he's done a great job, connected with several over 40, looked confident the other night on that 39-yarder. I think, you know, J.K. had a good game. He hit some boomers. Or as T. Jackson would have said, he hit a couple of howitzers. And, you know, he's just really been impressive. Dropped one inside the 10, I think. You know, coverage has been pretty good. Now, like you said, the fielding of the punts, I guess it was a concern in this last game. I think that Ruggs and Trevon Diggs, I still think both those guys are really good. I think maybe Diggs has lost a little bit of confidence. But I still think he's a really talented guy. And eventually, I think you'll see both of those guys, whatever their roles are, they're both going to be very, very good. And how about Ruggs? I think he's got 4 touchdown catches on 4 receptions.
Yep. That's right. Pick it up. Got to pick it up, Rodney.
Yeah, maybe they should throw to him more.
You know, to me, when you look at what's going on this week, can you imagine all of us sitting down about 10 years ago, and here it is late in this interview, and we've yet to talk about Tennessee. What does that say about this series, the fact that we're just now talking about Alabama and Tennessee the third Saturday in October?
It means that the series is right where it should be, Harold.
Is it because Tennessee has done so many bad things, or just because Nick needs the credit of building a dynasty?
Yeah, it's where it should be. Alabama's dominating the series, obviously won 10 in a row. And, you know, there's been some, obviously, a lot of great games through the years. And I said that half joke, to be honest with you. But how many games have there been that have been so, you know, great, you know, throughout the years in this rivalry? You know, just 2 years ago, you guys remember this, Jalen Hurd, the Tennessee running back, ran it in from about 15 yards with about 5 minutes left in the game and put Tennessee up with the extra point, 14-13. It was kind of scary at that moment. I mean, I really doubted that Alabama would win that game. You know, I certainly had some doubt. And then Coker led them down the field and, you know, for the winning touchdown, and you know how that all turned out. But I just say that, Tennessee has still been competitive in recent years. Now, last year, obviously, they kind of folded a little bit, but you know, who knows what's going to happen there. I'm sure that, you know, before long, they'll get it all turned around, and, you know, it'll be a series once again that I think there'll be a marquee series. But right now, it's just kind of in Alabama's favor.
Rodney Orr does a great job of covering recruiting for Tider Insider. Rodney, I was been asked the last couple of weeks about running backs, and some of the listeners say, my heavens, Alabama's only got five of them, but they're always looking for others. I know your latest recruiting update, you mentioned Devin Brumfield, an LSU commit, Chris Curry from Oklahoma, well, actually an Oklahoma commit, Jerome Ford, I know has been mentioned a couple of times. Auburn obviously has Asa Martin at Decatur, and he's had a phenomenal year. But I know you brought up a good point. You've got two big bruisers in Najee Harris and Brian Robinson, maybe a little bit more of a versatile back that they're looking at, such as a Josh Jacobs. Your thoughts on running back options in recruiting?
Yeah, I think if you just kind of look at it, like you said, as you look towards the future, there's a chance Damien Harris and Bo Scarborough both may be gone after this year. They may feel like they don't have, you know, can't improve their stock with the NFL, so they may move on. And if that, you know, is the case, certainly there's room, and they need another running back anyway. But, you know, with those two guys, Najee Harris, Brian Robinson, I think they're kind of the, you know, the power, and they've got a combination of all those things, power, speed, and all that. And I think kind of a change of pace back is something that Alabama might be more interested in this class, just kind of looking at it. You know, Jerome Ford's the guy that really shined at Alabama's camp this summer. He plays a lot of different positions in high school, running back being one of those, receiver a little bit, DB. But I think Alabama would probably look at him as a really versatile running back. And Asa Martin, though he is committed to Auburn, he visited here last weekend. He would certainly fit that role. I think he would, you know, if he were to decide to, you know, really flip to Alabama, then I think he would be a really good fit. You know, right now, I don't know that what the indications are in terms of, you know, him flipping to Alabama, but he certainly, you know, took the visit, so there has to be at least a little interest.
Ronnie, quarterback recruiting, and again, same issue here. You've got two good ones, well, three actually, but I know that Emory Jones, currently an Ohio State commitment, Jaron Williams, a Kentucky commitment. And again, Alabama always looking at getting, there's that Kentucky situation again. But, Ron, your thoughts on a potential quarterback signing for Alabama down the road?
As of today, I would probably say that, you know, Emory Jones, as you mentioned, and Jaron Williams, too, those two guys would probably be my guess as to who it'll come down to. I think both are very, very interested in Alabama. Both are probably, you know, would consider flipping. I think, too, that you have to look at this. You know, ultimately, Nick Saban's going to make the call on which one they really, you know, decide to pursue and take a commitment from. And if Alabama is expected to go watch Emory Jones again this Friday. He supposedly he's been invited back. I do know that for this upcoming game against Tennessee. He was here a few weeks ago. And I talked to somebody really close to his situation, and they said that they thought he would probably come for this game. So I would keep an eye on him. But also, like you said, Jaron Williams is still definitely in the mix, too. I know there's a lot of people that really like him and think highly of him. So those two guys, Brett, would be the two guys right now that I would focus on.
Rodney, for the folks who want to hop online with you and get in that sweet conversation when it comes to the topic of being Alabama football, where can they find you?
It's TiderInsider.com. It's only $48 a year. You can get instant access with your credit card, or if you prefer, you can send a check. And that gives you access to all our premium information, which, by the way, we had a big recruiting update yesterday, Fred, as you and Harold saw. And we'll have some more later. And, you know, just various other things. Of course, on our forum, on our sports forum, it is non-stop discussion, college football in general, Alabama, all the stuff you'd want to talk about, maybe some that you wouldn't want to talk about.
Yep.
Again, it's only $48 a year.
Buckle up. It's called Tider Insider. Rodney, thank you so much for your time today.
Harold and Brett, always appreciate it. Take care.
Thank you, bud.
That's the publisher and founder of TiderInsider.com.